We do not always have good things to happen to us, do we? This life is filled with what? Well, I would like to say this life is filled with joy. It is filled with happiness, but just through the very nature of life, it is filled with disappointments. Have you been disappointed? And you say, oh, Gene, how much time have you got? Just let me sit down and tell you about some of the disappointments that I have experienced this week. Now, I want you to forget those. I want to tell you that those disappointments are nothing at all compared to the disappointment that some are going to experience in the last day. Matthew 25, as Brother Mickey has read to us, is a picture of the great final judgment scene. Verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Oh, what a time of meeting. And do you know that time is really coming? There is actually going to be that event when Jesus, our Lord, as He has promised over and over again to us, He's coming again. And when He comes, among all of the marvelous events and happenings that will take place at that time, there's first of all the judgment. You know, it's going to be a time of extreme joy for Christians. For those who are faithfully worshiping God and who are striving every day to be pleasing in His sight, who are putting the kingdom of God first in their life. What a time of joy. Come, verse 34, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Don't you want to hear those words? Don't you want God and His Son, Jesus Christ, on that day of judgment, as they look down on you, to be able to say, come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You can't describe that joy and happiness. It's going to surpass anything that you and I have ever known here on earth. But you know, there's going to be terrible disappointment for some people. And I mean a disappointment that is going to go on and on. Verse 41 describes that disappointment. Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Think with me. Can you imagine the sinking feeling that is going to be in the hearts of men and women that hear those terrible, terrible words? There's no disappointment on earth that can compare with that kind. I tell you what. There is not a single one here, boy or girl or man or woman, that wants to hear the Lord say those words to them. Who are these? Who are these that are going to hear these words of condemnation? The Bible doesn't leave us in doubt. First of all, as we begin to think about those that will be so disappointed at the judgment, we're going to have to include in that number every unbeliever. Every individual who, for instance, has said in their heart, there is no God. Or maybe not that. Maybe they have convinced themselves Jesus is not the Son of God. He really is just a man like we are. Can you imagine their surprise at the judgment? Well, there is God. There is God. He really is. There is Jesus. This one that I've denied all through my life, he's sitting there on the throne of his glory. You know, one of the very sad things about this terrible, terrible disappointment is it need not ever happen at all. Do you really think that the person who denies God cannot know better? Paul, as he writes to the Romans in the first chapter, deals with this very matter. I only want to read two or three verses, those being verses 18 through verse 21 of Romans 1. Listen or read with me. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His, God's, invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Do you like to go outside at night? I do whenever I'm able. Go outside at night. Look up into the starry skies. Can you make a star? No. Well, you say, I'm not a night person, Brother Tope. All right, go out of the morning. Look at the flowers. Can you make a flower? Look at a newborn infant. Can you make a life? What does creation tell us? It shouts at us. There is God. Creation, not a disordered mass. Everything in its order. Everything perfectly arranged. What does it tell you? It took a divine person to do that. Someone with superior intellect. Not only did it take a divine person, man can't do it, it took somebody with tremendous power. To deny that, to deny God, is simply foolishness. Man not only can know that there is God, but every person in this life that denies Him and keeps on denying Him and deny it until the day of their death, what a great disappointment is going to be theirs. Well, but you say, now, Brother Gene, you preach from the Bible that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, that was 2,000 or more years ago. Have you seen Jesus? No. Have you seen any of the miracles that he performed? No. Have you seen any of the things that he did or heard him preach? No. All right. How can you know that he is the Son of God? Oh, dear friend, John the 20th chapter is such a wonderful thing. That disciple Thomas, he was right at that place. He said, I won't believe. I won't believe. But Jesus said to him, come here, Thomas. Reach your hand in. Put it into my side. See the print of the nails in my hand. Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, this is the point right now. Are you wondering whether Jesus is the Son of God? All right. Jesus said, Thomas, because you've seen me, you have believed. Yeah. Somebody says, show me Jesus and I'll believe. Well, there is another way of believing. So Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You see, that's you and me. That's you and me. We haven't seen Jesus. Jesus said, you can believe. And it is an even greater, wonderful belief than the one Thomas experienced. And here it is, verse 30 and 31. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written. Do you know why you have your Bible? Have you ever stopped to ask, why do I have a Bible? All right. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing, you may have life in his name. What are we to do? What are you to do? If you're at that point, sometimes, I'm not just choosing teenage children, but sometimes teenage children get to that place. And they say, I don't want to just follow my mother and father blindly. How can I know that Jesus is the Son of God? All right. How can you know? You get down your Bible, not somebody else's. You get down your own Bible, and you turn, for instance, to the Gospel of John. There are 21 chapters. It won't take you long. And you read through the Gospel of John with an open mind. I don't want you to start the Bible and say, regardless of the evidence, I want you to start reading your Bible as though you were reading its history for the very first time. And do you know what? You'll read about Nicodemus. You'll read about the woman at the well. You'll read about Jesus feeding 5,000 people. You will read about his ability to walk on the water. You will read of his ability to give sight to a blind man. You will read of his ability to raise Lazarus up from the dead. And you know, you will read of how they took him and nailed him to a cross. And on the third day, he was raised again from the dead. Oh, my friends, you're going to see Jesus at the judgment. You'll know for sure that he is the Son of God. But don't wait till then. It's going to be too late. If you refuse to study the evidence, if in your own will, if you reject Christ in this life, what a disappointment you're going to experience at the judgment. This next part, I want you to know, it's a little hard for me. Hard not because I do not understand what the Scripture says, but hard because I don't want this to happen. And I don't believe from what the Scripture says that God wants it to happen. Do you know another class of people that are going to be so disappointed at the judgment? It might surprise you. Do you know who these people are? They are very, very religious. They are churchgoers. They are people who say, Lord. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, we're able to read about this class of people that are going to be so disappointed. Matthew 7 and verse 21 through 23, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many, now here's the judgment day, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? And done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I think that's one of the saddest parts of the New Testament. Who are these people? They're not immoral wretches. They're not people that are out there committing crimes. These are churchgoers. These are zealous people. They're people that we meet every day that are going to say to you, do you love Jesus? They call him Lord. They are so zealous in their religious activities that they say, we've worked miracles and wonders. Have you noticed the Lord does not attack them on that basis? He says, I don't know you. I don't know you. I don't recognize you. I don't recognize that you are one of my children. Well, why not? Well, at the very end, he says, depart from me, you who work lawlessness. It's worth our while to stop and think for a minute. What does that mean? Well, It means, first of all, that these religious people were doing some things in religion that God had never commanded them to do. You see, they had made up their own rules in religion. They said, if we want to honor God and His Son Jesus, well, this is what we need to do. So they did a whole bunch of things that God never asked them to do, that God never told them to do. But you know something else? They failed to do some things that God told them to do. Do you really have to be baptized in order to have your sins washed away? 9/10 of the religious world says no, but the Bible says yes. Do you really need to partake of the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Does it have to be on Sunday? Why couldn't we partake of the Lord's Supper Wednesday night? Wouldn't that be more convenient? You say, well, I want to do something else on Sunday. Couldn't you partake of the Lord's Supper? Why so often? Why so often? Doesn't it get boring? Doing things in religion, in the name of the Lord, that He never ever told you to do, is one of the most dangerous things you can ever do. And to leave off doing what God tells you to do and what He tells you to be. Can you imagine the disappointment of these religious folks? Lord, how can you say depart? Don't you know how many years I have worshiped you? Yes, but you're guilty of lawlessness. Depart from me. What sinking hearts. I said that was sad. Do you know that Matthew, the 25th chapter, includes some Christians? Let's look there at the scripture that was read again. Jesus said in verse 42 of Matthew 25, I was hungry. You gave me no food. I was thirsty. You gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And they will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison? He'll answer them saying, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. You better love your brethren. You better love your brethren. You better seek to help disciples of the Lord. Loveless Christians are going to be disappointed at the judgment. Revelation 3 teaches us that lukewarm Christians are going to be disappointed. The Lord says, because you're neither hot or cold, I'll spew you out of my mouth. What a disappointment. And Christians, listen, Christians that fall away, Christians that sin willfully, they're going to be disappointed. Hebrews 10, verse 26, if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Read on. You say, Brother Tope, I'm scared. How do you know whether you've reached that place that he talks about here? Well, let me ask you, does your conscience still bother you? Does it still bother you that you no longer are a faithful Christian? Does it bother you that you've let the things of this world take precedent over your service to God? It's not too late. It's not too late. Fall down on your knees, brother or sister in Christ. Beg God to forgive you of your waywardness, of your hardness of heart. Come back to Him. Serve Him faithfully. How sad that disappointment will be to hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." There's one last classification of those that will experience disappointment. Those that never obey the gospel. Every meeting, I believe, we ask men and women, young people, responsible people, do you want to confess your faith in Jesus? And the reason why we do that is because our Lord said, whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father and the angels in heaven. We want you to have your sins washed away in baptism. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. What disappointment is going to be yours if you keep on putting off obeying the gospel? Brother Jeff, lead us as we sing. Let us help you, please.